Well, I'm grateful to be able to present to you our special guest. I met him and have really fallen in love with his ministry. God's given him a wonderful ministry that teaches us about trusting God through all things. God doesn't make any mistakes. Everything God does is perfect, and he's a great voice to remind us of that in the midst of whatever struggles we might be going through, to help us have the right perspective that God is in control, and God does have everything under control, and he can be fully trusted. So we have with us this morning Nick Vujicic, and we're so thankful that he's here. I'm glad that God allowed my path to cross with his, because my life has been enriched by him, and I'm grateful that he can speak to you this morning. Nick, welcome to Grace Community Church. Let's give him a warm welcome.
Thank you, Nate. Check, check. Good morning, everybody. It is so wonderful to be here in your midst. Pastor John, thank you so much for honoring just this time, this precious time with your staff, and blessing me with the opportunity to plant some seeds of encouragement and edification to all of you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I see some school students here. Some you middle school or high school? Somewhere there. High school? No. Middle school? Cool. Hi, nice to see you. I hope you enjoy it as well. It is my privilege and honor to also introduce, first of all, my parents, Boris and Dushka, my father and mother, and my sister, Michelle, and also two staff members from Life Without Limbs, David and Nate. So can we give them a round of applause for being here? My mother and my father are my heroes. They are the loudest voice of encouragement to this day that I have. They know me the best out of everyone in this world, especially through my childhood and teenage years. Their encouragement was very important and very vital in the times where I didn't believe that God gave me his best. And I just hope to encourage you with a message of understanding that God truly does give his best at all times to all people. And just to open up, yeah, I basically am 28 years old by the grace of God. I ran into Michael, and you first saw me in Ventura preaching there at a church on his vacation, and he came over to my office, and thank you for making the time to come, Michael, and thank you for the introduction. We, as a ministry of Life Without Limbs, have been registered in California, based in California, registered Colorado nonprofit since 2005. And by my accent, you can probably tell I'm from Australia. It's watered down a little bit. But by the grace of God, we've been traveling as an evangelical ministry, and the Lord has provided a platform for me to share my testimony about how the Lord has truly changed my life from a life without limbs into a life without limits. And I must say that your ministry, Pastor John, has really spoken to me in the early days of my life, because Mom and Dad always used to play your radio ministry, Grace to You, in Melbourne, Australia. For as young as we can remember, that was playing every week. And I want to thank you very much. And my Bible that I was given when I first, I think, got baptized was about 10 years ago, and I got your study Bible. And since then, it's been given away 5 years into it, and I want to thank you for the new one you gave to me with your autograph. So thank you very much for that. But it is my privilege and honor to be called a servant of the Most High God. It is a privilege and honor to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and call him friend, as we all know. And I just hope that your heart's going to be touched today. And before I get into it, I traditionally open up with some funny stories that happen along the way. John, you know how it is to travel a lot. By the grace of God, I traveled 120 flights last year. And, you know, you sort of get bored on the flights. And one day I wanted to change it up, so I got my friends to put me in the overhead compartment to scare people as they got in. And one day I boarded the plane, and I pretended that I was a serious person, and this just happened a couple months ago. And my caregiver put me up on the seat, and I looked serious and concerned. And this flight attendant came up, and she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I need more leg room." And she didn't know what to do. She's like, "Are you serious?" I laughed. It's so funny. But most of my funny stories happen on planes because that's when I've got time. And we about 6 months ago were on an American Airlines flight from Dallas-Fort Worth to Los Angeles. And approximately 8 months ago, I joked in a church how cool it would be if we dressed me up in a pilot's uniform and greeted the passengers as they got on the plane and saying, "Hi, I'm your pilot today," you know, and see how they react. So we got an email from someone saying, "Well, I'm a pilot and we can make this happen." I said, "Are you serious?" He said, "Absolutely." So just imagine 6 a.m., people are still waking up. They got their coffee and they're half awake. And they come up to the plane and they see me and all dressed up. I got the pilot's hat, the pilot's badges, the suit jacket. I mean, the whole deal and the tie. And I don't like ties, but I got the tie and everything. And as people are coming up to me, I'm saying, "Good morning, good morning. I'm Captain Nick Vujicic. I'm going to be flying your plane today. I'm really excited. My palms are a little sweaty. We're trying some new technology, but we'll be okay." It was very, very funny. And we really pushed it to the edge where I made the welcome again on the microphone, and you should have seen them all looking down the aisle like, "Is this guy for real?" But the funniest thing about that was I told the guy I'm going to be flying his plane, and he was like, "Oh, cool," and he walks on. And I'm like, "Really?" But anyway, I was born without arms and legs, and there is no medical reason as to why I was born this way. It wasn't thalidomide. My mom was a midwife in Australia, meaning that she would deliver many, many babies in her job in the midwifery section of the hospital, and she knew all the medical terms and was very, very careful with her first pregnancy, which was me. And they had a couple ultrasounds done, and I still to this day am in awe of God's grace, of how He protected my parents, gave them enough grace day by day, gave them comfort, gave them strength, gave them a support of their family and friends around them. And my mom and dad, they were not just your average Christians, if I could say. They were Christians who felt the Lord put in their heart to plant a church. So before I was born, my dad was around my age, 27, 28. So just imagine at my age planting a church, being pregnant, and my wife being pregnant, and then us having a son with no arms, no legs for no medical reason. It took my mom about 4 months to come to terms with it. And while my mom was lying in bed there and they put me in the nursery, my dad went to go see me. And he came back and he told my mom, "He's beautiful." And just the grace in that is amazing. As I look back on my young 28 years, all I can see is the fingerprints of God everywhere. And He's always given me His best. It hasn't been the way I think it should have come. Maybe the way it presented God's best. You know, learning as a child about God's best and how much He loves us. "God's got a plan for you, Nick," you know, and I'd go to school and get teased and I'd feel alone, my brother and my sister having arms and legs, feeling very alone. I go to many places and people say, "You know what, Nick, I'm never going to complain again in my life." I said, "Why?" They said, "Well, look what you went through." And I said, no. I believe it's worse losing a loved one than having no limbs. I could find many mothers who would give up their limbs to have their child back in their life. Brokenness is brokenness, but there is hope. And when the world says we know what hope is, the hope is such that they say, "Well, all you need is love." And I'm not preaching to you. You all know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I'm just sharing in a nutshell my testimony. It's more than just a positive attitude. It's more than just unconditional love, because I had unconditional love from my parents. I had a pretty good attitude because of them, and I had everything I needed. I went to school. I learned how to write with my foot and type with my foot and swim and golf and fish and do a lot of things and become independent, drive a wheelchair by 2.5 years old. I always knew that I could come home to a home of love. And I'm thankful for that, but it wasn't enough. I was questioning God's existence, God's love, God's perfection. Is this his best? Jeremiah 29:11. He has a hope, plan, and a future. Is this God's best for me? Did he intend for this to happen? No, it all happened in the Garden of Eden. Sickness, disease, and death came when man fell into sin. And I was just preaching a new message on Sunday in Maryland about a title called The Fall of Man, The Catch of God. And there's nothing that we can do while we're fallen to help God catch us better. Nothing we can do. Oh, you know, I've got to fix myself up before I come to God. Or you know, if I just understood that, then I could, you know, trust in God to catch me. We got to understand that faith is believing. We know Hebrews 11:1, what faith is, believing in something that you do not see, certain of things hoped for. I was hoping for a good hope. I was hoping that God knew what he was doing, but it's so hard to believe it when you don't see it. And so that drove me to depression at age 8. I was teased at school, and 30% of the reason why I wanted to go and end my life in the bathtub with 6 inches of water was because of the teasing and the rejection of love that I would experience every day. 30% of it was because I felt like I was a burden to my parents, and I couldn't see myself ever becoming independent. And 30% was, well, what good am I going to live for anyway? Who's going to want to employ me and all these sort of things? And who's going to want to marry me? And by the grace of God, I'm very excited to announce that I am now engaged to be married in February next year. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. And I realize you don't need hands to hold your wife's hand. You just need a heart that holds her heart. And I was just thinking before I got up here, you don't need arms and legs to put on the full armor of God. I can put on my helmet, my breastplate, my true belt of truth, and the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith, and God holds them up for me. You know, I always say that you don't know what's around the corner till you go around the corner, but when you can't walk around the corner, ask God to carry you. Because when God carries you, guess whose footprints are left behind? God's. And I don't want people in the world to think, wow, what an inspiration Nick is. No, my strength is nothing. My righteousness is nothing. My goodness is nothing compared to the majestic name of Jesus Christ. And that's the wonderful door of opportunity that Life Without Limbs has had, that China has opened up to us 4 times, are going back for the 4th time in November because of suicide rates in university campuses. They came in, they asked me to encourage their students. So I'd have my Bible on the table and they say, you're not allowed to preach now. I said, okay. I mean, what are they going to do, handcuff me? So we come in wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, and we're preaching without words. I do refer to scriptures in the Bible without having to refer back to it. However, we are allowed to answer questions. And so during the talk, I talk about faith, F-A-I-T-H, full assurance in the heart. I talk about my favorite book in the world that I always come to and always helps me. And then I always have this great, great friend that I can always count on, who's always there, who understands my pain, who loves me no matter what. And so questions come, well, who's your friend and how can we have a friend like that? And what's your favorite book and why is it your favorite book? And what's your faith? You talk about faith. And so I just preach the gospel right there and then. And then it comes even to a point where it turns into a 30-minute sermon where you have students standing up like one fella. He stood up crying and he said, but how can you love a God who gives you no arms, no legs? That's China. 42 countries by the grace of God, 7 presidents, 5 congresses. It's been an incredible ride, but it is my privilege to be here to hope that the Holy Spirit touches you today, because God's seriously given you his best. And because I like preaching fresh messages, for me that is fresh, the only problem with new Bibles, Pastor John, is that they don't open very well. So let me... Don't be offended if I have to sit on this one a little bit to open it up. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 3 a little bit. And I was pondering on a verse for about 3 weeks. And I knew what the verse was, and I knew the story very well. It's one of the first stories we all learn in Sunday school. It's about the fall of man, Adam and Eve. My grandfather, both of my grandfathers were preachers in their time. I come from a beautiful lineage. I come from a family who's been persecuted for their faith in former Yugoslavia. So we understand the importance of knowing scripture. And my grandfathers both were jailed and persecuted for their faith. And so I come from a very rich heritage on that level. And I remember my mom and dad always teaching us the word. And we all know Adam and Eve, and my grandfather, my mom's dad, I got advice from both of my grandfathers before they went to heaven, and they were all very good. My dad's dad said, believe and be disciplined. He was a man of discipline. And that's my Vujicic side. And then Radojevic side, my grandfather said, don't ever add or subtract from the gospel. Two great pieces of wisdom I'll carry with me forever. And then I was beautifully blessed to meet Reverend Billy Graham with my fiance and have him lay his hands on us and pray for our marriage and ministry to come. And Billy Graham said himself that he wishes he memorized more scriptures and spent more time at the feet of Jesus. So talk about humbling right there and then. But I loved your study Bible, John. I want to say that again, so thank you for the new one. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read a couple verses. We're just going to go until we stop. The subtitle is Fall of Man. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, God has said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Thank God for my foot, I can turn the page in the Bible, huh? Verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And then you know the rest of the scripture. Adam hears God's voice. They hide. God says, what are you doing? How do you know that you're naked? Did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat from? They said, yes. The woman you gave me gave me the fruit. He blamed straight away Eve, and then Eve shared how the serpent did what he did, and that's how it happened. You know, I think of what was going through Eve's mind when the serpent came. First of all, the serpent comes and says, is it true that God said not to eat of the fruit? And she said, can you eat all the fruit? She said, yes, except for this one. And then the serpent said, you will not die. Is that a lie or is that truth? It's a lie, for they will die. Then he said, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. Is that true or is that false? True. And you will be like God. True or false? False. Knowing good and evil. True or false? Truth. When God says no to something, he protects us. You teenagers, I know how it feels when you have this idea that you don't want to give your life to God yet because you feel like it's a you can't do this and you can't do that sort of thing. Many of your friends who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't mind getting drunk. They don't mind having sex before marriage. Let's talk about sex for a little bit because this comes right back to God's best. Now, God is the author and creator of sex. Now, why would the counterfeit ever be better than the authentic? Why would Satan's wine be better than God's wine? It's never better. God made sex within marriage. Sex out of marriage will never be better. Sorry, sex in marriage will always be better than out of marriage. Because your friends who experiment with these things, they leave them a little part with someone else, and your virginity only comes once, and I want to be able to look my kids in the eyes and say, I waited for your mother. That's one thing. But it's not just to do a good thing. It's not just a good choice. Do you understand? When it is done in the fashion that God made perfect, see, sex is not love. The world thinks that sex is love, but you can be sexually active with so many people or one person for so long, but still think, do they still love me? Sex itself is not love. But when you understand that when you honor God, God honors you. God will always give you his best, even when he says no. And that was hard for me. That was hard for me that when I asked God for arms and legs, I thought that was best. This fruit became very tempting for Eve. Why? What happened? So then after she had a conversation with the serpent, she looked back at the fruit. And when the woman saw in verse 6 that the tree was good for food. What's that? Practicality. I need something that's practical. I need arms and legs. It's practical. It makes sense. If it's practical, that's 50% of why I want something. It's because I need something. I'm learning really quickly that, sorry, but women can go to the shopping mall and come back with nothing and have a great time. And then sometimes women can go shopping and come back with something they really didn't need, but it was on sale. I'm learning pretty fast. And that's not a problem, but this is the thing. It's human nature. This is very simple. There's nothing complicated about the gospel. There's nothing complicated about the enemy at all. He's a liar, and he will repackage something. He doesn't get you this way, he'll just repackage it. And if he doesn't get you this time, he'll get you when you're tired, and he'll get you again. In verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's practicality, it's necessity. And that it was a delight to the eyes. What's that? Desire, want. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise. This is how you get people to buy a product of your company. It will look good. And they'll convince you that you'll be better with it. So then that means you need it. That's the greatest marketing tool written in Genesis 3 many thousands of years ago. It was known. So here it is. Do I want arms and legs? Absolutely. Absolutely. It would be fun. Today I can tell you I've seen miracles. I've seen blind people seeing, deaf people hearing, lame people walking, skin diseases fall off bodies within 24 hours. And today, I have a pair of shoes in my closet just in case he says yes. And there are people who come up to me as a teenager, they'd come up to me and say, Nick, I know that the Lord is going to give you arms and legs. I said, absolutely, in heaven. They said, no, here, now, God's going to give you arms and legs. And I knew that at 8 years old that if God would give me arms and legs, everybody who knew me before I was given the miracle would be changed forever. But if Pastor John MacArthur heard some sort of newspaper article in 1990 that in Melbourne, Australia, a boy was born without limbs and miraculously given limbs, he still wouldn't have me to come and speak at your staff level. If I tell you all the different miracles that I've seen with my own eyes and I have on camera, I can tell you all of them. And still tomorrow morning, your first thought's not going to be, wow, I can't believe that that blind woman saw. It's not going to change you, is it? So when these people said, God's going to give you arms and legs on this earth, I said, you know what? Maybe he will, and maybe he won't. And I've never felt the smile of God upon my heart than in 2008 in India. We prayed as I laid down in a farmyard and had clay arms and legs made out. And we prayed for an hour and a half, and the whole hour and a half, an eagle was soaring above us while we prayed for arms and legs. Did God give me arms and legs? No. But man, I'm glad we did it anyway. There's no net minus with praying for miracles. But don't let your joy in the Lord be dependent on what you think he should do in your life. Because the greatest miracle of all, when the disciples were so rejoicing over all the miracles they saw, Jesus said, don't worry about those miracles. Rejoice that the name of yours is written in the book of life. That's the greatest miracle of all. And I think back, if I had an experience like Job had, even a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the experience that Job had with God in chapter 38, can you imagine what God would tell me as an 8-year-old kid weeping for arms and legs? Nick, you have a choice. What do you want? Do you want arms and legs for 90 years that will give you arthritis later on anyway? Or would you rather work with me through my Holy Spirit and you be a mouthpiece for the truth to be preached to all mankind and populate heaven by another 500,000 souls by 28? What are you going to say to that? What would I say to that? 5 years ago, I'll never forget it, I was preaching in Anaheim in front of 3,000 people, and I saw a father pick up his kid like this, 19-month-old little Daniel, no arms and no legs. And I looked at him, and I couldn't believe it. I flashed back in my mind when I wanted to commit suicide. I tried to commit suicide at age 10. The only thought that stopped me from doing it was because I didn't want to leave my parents and my family in pain. They would blame themselves and they wish they could have done something more. I didn't want to give them that guilt, so I decided to stay. Thank God I decided to stay. That's the grace of God. But at age 10, I thought to myself, if I only met somebody like me, then I could believe someone when they say, I understand, it's going to be okay. I wanted to believe my parents, but I knew they didn't understand how it felt to be in my shoes. Metaphorically speaking. So the first chapter in my book, if you can't get a miracle, become a miracle. This little boy, 19 months old, I know he's going to go through bullying. I know he's going to feel alone. But now he has an older brother. And his doctors told his parents that he's not going to walk. And now he walks. And they saw my YouTube videos and said, oh, Daniel might even swim. If Nick's going to swim, then Daniel's going to swim. At 2.5 years old, little Daniel, he saw my video. He said, swim like Nick, swim like Nick. Now he swims. Now he goes to school. And now he knows that Jeremiah 29:11 also includes him. When I saw my mom hug his mom and my dad hug his dad, my heart melted. It was incredible. If I was born without arms and legs, just to bring one more soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. A friend's friend said this, 4 trillion years in heaven, we're just getting started in eternity. I'll say it again. 4 trillion years in heaven is just the beginning of eternity. It's pretty profound. What else is there to live for? Money? Drugs, sex, alcohol, pornography, fame, fortune. You're at school. You're part of this campus. Do you still swear? Do you still tease someone? If you're a Christian, don't tell me that you're a Christian when you praise God on Sunday and you tease someone on Monday. You do not know the love of God. The question is, who's going to understand that we need to dare to believe in the greatness of our God and understand that it's not luck, chance, or coincidence that every three-year-old girl wants to be a princess. You were born royalty. You're beautiful just the way that you are. Your dad is a king of kings and lord of lords. A daughter to a king is a princess. Us boys, we want to fight. Why? Because we're generals in the army of God standing in front of the gates of hell and redirecting traffic. And when I go to Muslim countries and I'm able to share what I share and go to China, go to India, and all around the world, it saddens my heart. Saddens my heart about the disunity of the body of Christ in the West. It's not just here. It's not just Australia. It's everywhere in the West. You've been praying for China for many years. Do you know, in my opinion, the biggest body of Christ? We know that fact is China. 100 million believers. There's approximately, from what I heard last year, about 56 million of people in the United States, and correct me if I'm wrong, but around that figure, every week, Americans go to church. Let me tell you about Chinese Christians. They understand what evangelism is. They understand what family is and getting each other's back. They understand the importance of discipleship. Now you tell me, how many Christians in the United States of America understand those three things? You've done a great job at shepherding this flock, Pastor John. I've heard your teaching. I know your teaching, but it's very rare. Why am I saying this? We are living in very exciting times. When's Jesus coming back? When everybody has heard his name. This little thing, this little half body that you see, it's just my body. It's not my spirit, it's me. This is just my body. It's going to decay and rot and go to dust. But this little boy who was born in Melbourne, Australia, by the grace of God, I was able to pray with 270 million people watching live. What does that mean? What's YouTube? Do you know how Michael heard about me? Because he came to the church. How did that church hear about me? Maybe through another church, but mainly a YouTube video. How cool would it be if God came to me at age 8 and he said, just trust me, I'm going to give you my best. There's going to be a thing called YouTube and 100 million people are going to know you. And without you doing a thing, while you're preaching here at this church, another 20,000 people are going to watch you online. That's amazing. Isn't that fun? It's fun. I close off with understanding that you got to know that God has his best in mind. If I have cancer and I ask for prayer for cancer, to be healed. Can he say no? Yes. The moment God can't say no is when he's not a sovereign God. I'm the only one that's stopping me going to heaven. It's me saying no to him. He forgives, he heals, and he restores your soul like nothing of this world can give you. The reason why I became a speaker was I was 19 years old. I spoke in front of 300 sophomore students. And I was really nervous. My knees were shaking. And within 3 minutes, half the girls were crying. And this one girl in the middle of the room started weeping. She came up. She put her hand up. She said, I'm so sorry. Can I come up there and give you a hug? She came up and she hugged me and she cried on my shoulder and she said, thank you, thank you, thank you. No one's ever told me that they love me. No one's ever told me that I'm beautiful the way that I am. Changed my life. That's when I knew I was born to be a speaker. I've had many letters come in and say, Nick, I was ready to commit suicide. I wrote letters to my parents until I saw you on YouTube. Astonishingly, I did not know the facts of suicide in the world until I recorded a video for our ministry yesterday. 1 million people in the world commit suicide every year. 1 million. That's one suicide every 40 seconds. Suicide has gone up 65% in the last 45 years. 60% in the last 45 years. The third leading cause of death for the age bracket of 15 to 24 is suicide. It's terrible. There is hope until you give up on God. But if you don't give up on God, God will not give up on you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence through your Holy Spirit here that has touched every single one of us in a different way, on a different level. And we ask God that today that you would help us to ask you to humbly and honestly search our hearts and see if there are any wicked ways in us that you may cleanse us from unrighteousness. And give us peace and joy through all tribulations and trial. For knowing that you are with us and we will always learn more in the valley than on a mountain. We thank you, Lord, that you are, as you are the God of the mountain, you are the God of the valley. And the question is not where we are, but are we with you? And we ask God in Jesus' name that every single soul here would have some communication with you today. And that you would touch them with peace and strength. Thank you, God, that you would carry us. Thank you, Lord, that when we think we don't need you to carry us, that you break our legs sometimes. Thank you, God, that you love us so much, that your love pursues us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a need for you. A need for something more. We thank you that you are the answer. There is no name above the name of Jesus. And I uplift every single person right now before your throne. And I ask God that you would take away any depression and any addiction, any blindness. Father, I pray for spiritual miracles, emotional and mental miracles. Thank you, Lord, that you would set us free. Father, I do pray for physical miracles here as well, knowing full well that there are people here who may have something known or unknown in our bodies that is killing our body. We ask in Jesus' name that you would heal us. Give me arms and legs. Give this man up the front hearing ability right now in Jesus' name. But Father, if it's not your will that a physical miracle would happen right now, we thank you that you are God. And we give you praise for eternity. And we thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. And we give you praise for the honor of being your children and your servants. That we may understand that there is one thing better than coming home right now to you, and that's to bring someone else along. Thank you for that privilege. Father, help us to put our life today into perspective. If this was our last day, who would we hug? Who would we call? Who would we be with? Who would we say, I love you to? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Pastor John MacArthur, his whole staff, his whole ministry. Thank you, God, that you continue to bless him and his wife and their marriage and their kids and all their family. Be with him as he travels. Anoint him, protect him. Give him strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it's my privilege. And thank you, John, once again. Can I have a hug from you, sir? The scary thing is anyone can just pick me up and take me home, but I trust you. Love you so much. You. God bless you. Thank you. Wait a second. Would you do me an honor, please?
Yes.
Just give me 30 seconds. Sorry, Nate. Would you pray for me and my fiance and our ministry? That would be an honor. And if you don't mind, for my keepsake, I would like to record it on audio. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you mind grabbing that microphone, though, please, so everybody else can hear it? Because it truly is an honor to have you pray for me. It's ready.
Okay, what's her name?
Kanaya.
Kanaya?
Yeah.
There's only one of those. How did you find her?
God, by the grace of God. Yeah.
Where did you meet?
Texas.
But don't worry,
she's being delivered. She's coming to California.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay. Father, I do want to pray for Nick and Kanaya. Thank you that in your wonderful providence and purpose, you have brought them together. And that you have a plan for them together that could never be fulfilled if they were separate. Mm-hmm. That you will accomplish through the two of them becoming one what would never be possible if they didn't. Lord, we anticipate all the joys of that union, and we anticipate the fruitfulness of it even beyond that. Pray that you'll protect them, that you'll guide them, guard them, and that you would accomplish through them together, exceeding abundantly above all they can ask or think, according to the power that works in them, even that power that raised Jesus from the dead. Use Nick, use him mightily. May he always live with a sense of awe and wonder that you have chosen the lowly and the no ones and the nobody and the not wise and the not powerful, in order that all the glory might go to you. We boast not in ourselves, but in you. You have confounded the wisdom of the world and the power of the world by choosing the least and empowering them in the mightiest way to make an impact for your kingdom. Continue to do that through Nick. Bless his family, his friends that work with him, minister with him, and use him mightily, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you. And thank you all for coming to Chapel Today. Thank you, Nick, for sharing your testimony with us. Let's give him a little thank you from all of us. It is a profound testimony. It is a profound testimony to see the joy in his heart and the sense of completion and the absence of bitterness. There's only one explanation for that, and that's the power of Christ, and that's the power of his life and the power of his testimony. So we want to continue to pray for him. Well, God bless you all. Got to go back to work. That's why we're paying you the big bucks, right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you pour out on us every day. And today has been a very special day as we've gotten to meet Nick and his family. And we do pray, Lord, that as we prayed earlier, that you would do things that even they could never, ever expect. We pray for this upcoming trip to China. Lord, may things happen there that would be beyond their anticipation. And may Christ be exalted. We thank you for the church in China. We pray that you would give them increasing favor and power in that nation for your glory. And we ask that you'll give us a great day here. Continue to keep us faithful to the calling that you've set before us. Give us love for one another as we work together. And we'll thank you for such a high privilege. In Christ's name, amen.